prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is a really special show. They're all special shows. I know, most of you probably think, oh, Carl, everything you do is special. Well, maybe not, but today's show really is special. I'm going to be joined by a guy I am proud to call a friend during the first hour named Dan Matha. Those of you who have been listening for the show, to the show for any length of time, remember Dan used to come on the show regularly and do the Matha Motivation Hour, and he was great. We're going to talk to him, and he's going to be featured in a Muscle Saves Lives episode. You know, I've been talking about how muscle increases health span and lifespan, but that's usually from a metabolic standpoint. But that's been shown in science. But the one thing that hasn't been shown in science is something that I've been talking about for a long time, and that is the sheer mass on your body is protective. And we're going to talk about that today. Then later in the show, we're going to be joined by Shannon Yorton Penna, the gal who invented the Quest protein bar. Now, think about this for a second. Shannon is amazing in the kitchen. She can take decadent desserts, remove all the sugar, and still make them taste great. And that's a talent and an art. And the Quest bar started in her kitchen. She was making them for her personal training clients before her husband, Ron Penna, said, you know, I think we need to do something bigger with these. That's really where Quest started. And then last year, the company was sold for $1 billion. She's going to start doing regular episodes helping us learn to cook and make foods and snacks and desserts that taste like they're bad for you, but they're not. Remember that? Remember Elise's spot when she used to do the Quest protein bar spot? You'll think you're cheating, but you're not. Well, Shannon knows how to do that, and she's going to teach us how to do that later in the show. Before we get started, of course, I have to thank my title sponsor, and that's Legendary Foods. Without them, the show would come to a screeching halt, and I say that with all honesty. And that's why I ask you at the top of every show to show them some love. Go to eatlegendary.com. Use the code SHR. Save 10% off. One of the things that Shannon created for Legendary Foods is their nut butters. They taste like they're loaded with sugar. They taste decadent. They taste sweet. They taste so friggin' good that you can eat them out of the jar as a dessert, but they have no sugar added. So try any of the great nut butters, and you can thank Shannon for those inventions as well, culinary inventions. Eatlegendary.com, the code SHR, 10% off. Check them out. So now let me bring my guest on camera. Those of you who have been watching my show, listening to my show for at least the past 5 years or so have been introduced to Dan Matha in the past. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, Carl. It's crazy to think it's been that long already.
I know, right? Because you went to Florida with the WWE, but we'll get into that. So first I have to tell people my Dan Matha story. I train at a little gym here in Louisville, Kentucky called Louisville Athletic Club. And there's some hardcore trainers there, but I wouldn't say it's a hardcore gym by any means. And one day, I walk into the gym for a normal training routine, and I see this guy standing up at the squat rack, cradling 405 pounds in his arms, and doing Zercher squats. But not only is he doing Zercher squats, but he's looking at himself in the mirror, and he's smiling. And he's not smiling fake. It's like he's smiling because he looks like a kid that just walked into Christmas land. And I'm like, who is this guy? So later on that day, we bump into each other. We start talking. And a friendship came out of that that is still strong today. Dan, I knew the moment I met Dan that he was destined for something great. Because he's not only super strong. He's not only super handsome. But he's highly intelligent and he thinks about things. He's a deep, deep thinker. And that's why we used to do the Matha Motivation Hour, where he would actually come into the studio and he would come prepared with such great insights that we would talk about. And if you haven't heard those shows, go back into my archive and just search for Matha Motivation and you'll find them. So when Dan was here in Louisville, he was with the OVW, which is the farm team for the WWE, preparing to be a wrestler. But his sports history goes all the way back to the Cincinnati Bengals. So let's start there. You played for the Cincinnati Bengals, right?
Yeah.
Talk briefly about that.
So I finished up at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, where I was an All-American, played football there. Finished up that season and started training for the combine, pro day, to get brought in by a team, right? I was a priority free agent, got brought in by the Cincinnati Bengals. Had a brief little stint with them. Wish it would have lasted a little bit longer, but I had failed a physical that kind of kept me from getting in there for long-term-wise. I had a labrum tear. And at that point in the game, especially unless you're like in the first two rounds in the NFL, you really are disposable because you've got 1,000 other guys every year that are going to come in. And the only time money is guaranteed in the NFL is when somebody's injured. So it's just one of those things. Didn't work out quite the way I wanted to, but it was an awesome experience and one that I treasure and I'm greatly proud of and I've taken with me into the rest of my life. From there, I still thought I wanted to pursue football. You know, I still had the dream. I wanted to get back there. So I went up to Canada at CFL, played with Montreal Alouettes. And that's really where the wrestling journey began when I was up there, because I didn't realize it at the time, but I was really just chasing a paycheck and kind of chasing. I kind of related to when you're in a relationship and you love somebody, but for whatever reason, you guys kind of grow apart. You know deep down in your heart, like, you need to end it, but it's like that emotional attachment is still there, and you're just not ready to let go. That's kind of where I was at when I was in Montreal. And I had a dream one night that I left Montreal to start wrestling. Well, the next day I woke up, and I got released unexpectedly from the team. And it kind of blindsided me, legitimately. So I was sitting in the airport drinking some airport beers, kind of depressed. Agents calling me, trying to get me on a couple other teams that were looking to bring me in up there. And I kind of just thought that dream kind of came to me. It was just coming over and over. And I just was like, this has got to be a sign. You know, this has got to be a sign. I don't know, you want to call it God, you know, you call it universe.
Yeah, the universe, yeah, whatever. Energy, connectedness, yeah.
Whatever you're more comfortable with, I'm just like, we'll talk about this accident, something kind of similar. I felt the same way, that same presence kind of come over me, and almost as if it was teaching me or guiding me. And that's what I felt like was happening. I was like, oh, this is one of those moments in your life where it's like, okay, this chapter was awesome, but it's over and it's time to write the next one. So told my agent, thank you for everything, but I'm moving on with my life. And I made the decision that I was going to start wrestling. So at the time I didn't have any money. I just had spent the last of my money on those airport beers. So I called my grandpa.
That was a good investment, right?
I needed those airport beers. It was worth going -42 in the account at the time. So.
All right.
So I called my grandpa, told him I was in a hard spot, and my grandpa, being the awesome human being that he was like, hey, I got a spot in the basement for you. Kind of went back there, sat in the basement for a week, sulking/researching, and I found OVW. Decided, okay, if I don't know how I'm going to get into the wrestling business, but I just need to go to a school, start training, and I knew in my heart that if I could get in front of the right people, everything else would take care of itself. So I found OVW. A couple months later, I ended up moving down there, started training. Sure enough, I started training there for like 4 or 5 weeks, and I got a call from the WWE right away. And they were like,
yeah, you were here and then out like that quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it happened. It was like it was meant to That was meant to happen. Those things were like meant for me to get there to do that. And I knew, right? Like I knew that if I got in front of the right people, everything would take care of itself. And sure enough, it did. And they called me, the person who's in charge of like talent evaluation, Canyon Seaman, hit me up and was just like, hey, I know it's super short notice, but in 13 days, we've got a tryout. Now, if you're not, he was like, if you're not in shape, let us know. And then we have another tryout in 6 months. And before he could finish that, I just was like, dmatha67@gmail.com. Send me everything. I'll see you in 13 days, Canyon.
Right, right. Because, yeah, I remember you were like in the gym one day. We were training, talking. And then like a couple days later, you're like, I'm leaving for Florida. I'm going to go work with the WWE. It wasn't even like you weren't even talking about it up to that point. Like, oh yeah, we know Dan is going to go. It was just like overnight you were gone.
Yeah, it was a pretty quick situation, which I kind of like, you know. I'm one of those, I'm a doer. I like to just, I like to think, like you said, I do like to think, but a lot of times, you know, thinking sometimes has its, you know, you can think too much. So sometimes it's like, yo, let's get to action. So that was one of those. And that's what you do all that preparation for. That's, you know, you're talking about me doing them Zercher squats, getting trained, training my body. In my mind, it's like, if you're in shape, you never got to, you know, you never got
to
get in
shape.
Yeah,
you're ready. You're ready to jump out of the plane whenever they need you to. You know, you used to do these box jumps. I was just telling my buddy this morning. So what are you, about 6'4"?
I'm 6'7".
6'7", okay. So you're 6'7". And when I met you, you were a lot thicker. You were carrying a lot of body weight, but you actually have trimmed down for the WWE. So now you're just all muscle. But you were heavier then, and you used to stand about 3 feet away from a box that had to be at least 3 feet or more high and just leap up on it like it was nothing. And I remember thinking to myself, this guy... you know, 10,000 years ago, you would have been a gladiator. You know what I mean? You would have been the guy with the big sword, you know, like cutting six people in half in one shot. I mean, like you were, your genetics are just insane.
That's one of the things, that's true. I always say my ancestors were guys riding horses. You know, we were the weapons of mass destructions before there was guns and bombs and stuff. So, and I did a 23andMe, and my ancestry was quite interesting. I thought I would have, because my grandparents are Italian immigrants, so I thought I was going to have much more Italian in me, but I only had like 15%. I had quite a bit of like German and Scandinavian in me, which, I mean, I'm sure most people aren't surprised by that. But there was like an interesting little...
Well, but you got to remember, Italy back in the day was like the United States is today. People left their countries to go to Italy because Italy was thriving. It was the center of the Renaissance. It was the center of you know, art and everything good. Like my grandfather had red hair and blue eyes on my mother's side. He was an orphan. So he ended up in southern Italy, but his people were from north, probably from the Aspens or something like that. So, you know, being from Italy doesn't always guarantee that you're Italian. Let's just put it that way, you know?
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's, like you said, it was, you know, I mean, if you go back as far as, like, the Roman, you know, the Roman Republic, like you said, it was the epicenter of the world. So, explosiveness, those type 2 muscle fibers have always been something that I just kind of inherently had, even before I got into athletics. And I always found, I know a lot, especially when with lift, like any type of football players, a lot of training kind of, they throw in the Olympic lifts a lot because of the, you know, the great explosive benefits that come from that. But I was fortunate enough to kind of learn, you can train all of those, that triple extension through jumps and throws without having to learn a whole new skill, which is Olympic lifting, and without having to put any of the stress that comes with
and the potential injury, which is what you're talking about. A lot of guys injure themselves once they start doing Olympic lifting because it's all form.
Yeah, because people don't realize that is a sport in itself. So you're teaching these college, a lot of times high school, collegiate athletes, or even just, you know, recreational lifters. a sport in itself, but you're not giving it its due process. You're just training it, but like there's a skill acquisition that is going to take place in Olympic lifting on top of the physical acquisition that is going to take place. I'm a big fan of jumps, box jumps. I like a lot of explosive work. It primes your nervous system. It gets you ready to hit any type of maximal lift or even sub-maximal lift. It kind of primes everything. So, with that process, where were we at? WWE?
So then you go to WWE and you go down there and you work hard. I mean, you literally disappeared from everybody's radar for quite a while. And then you started slowly coming back out. Like you had an Instagram page and all that sort of stuff. You worked hard while you were there.
Yeah, man. So it was like starting back over at ground zero. I entered, I had all this success from football. And I was a big fish in a big pond. And then now I'm going to the WWE and I'm learning something that is completely foreign. And a lot of people probably look at wrestling and they think if you're a good athlete, you'll be able to just be a good wrestler. But there's a lot of physical skills that you have to learn, but the physical skills pale into comparison to the psychological and like mental aspect of performing, because it is a performance, and that adds, and not only is it a performance, it's a performance in front of a live audience, which increases the variables exponentially. So it is something that takes quite a bit of time to learn. I had to kind of almost bury my head into the sand and just get tunnel visioned on learning a new skill again. Right. And they had me down, you're down here in Orlando, Florida, at the WWE Performance Center, and just training 6 days a week, 7 days a week. Sometimes.
How many hours a day?
When I first got there, I was training from, so I'd get into the building around 8, class, my first class would start at 9, and I wouldn't leave there until 8 o'clock at night. So you would be getting there, you'd have a 3-hour ring session, you'd have like an hour and a half in between, you'd hit the gym, then you would hit extra, there was like extra ring sessions that you could get, voluntary, but
right.
I would hit these extra ring sessions. I would do that for about an hour, and then I would rush upstairs, shower, eat real quick, change my clothes, and then we would go to promo class, and depending on that, you're there 16 hours, and it's just rinse, repeat. Then the weekends come, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're doing all of those things now, and then you're now traveling. So now you're traveling here locally in Florida, anywhere up to 3 or 4 hours away from Orlando, traveling to a venue, setting up the ring, watching people put matches together. Once you get enough experience yourself and you're privileged enough to start having matches, then now you're having matches. Now you're going, setting up a ring, thinking about what you're going to do, choreographing and talking about, what you want to get out of the match, how you want to have the match. Then actually time comes to execute the match, right, which is its own stressor in itself. Doing that, coming back through the curtain, show's over, tearing down the ring, getting in your car, driving back home, rinse, repeat, 3 days in a row.
So you were basically the band and the roadie at the same time.
Yeah, man. It's the developmental hustle is no joke. You are an entertainer, you're an athlete, you're hard labor, you're light, sound, you learn everything. I can set up a ring, I can set up lights, I can set up audio, I can put a match together, I can do it.
Were you getting paid at that time, Dan, or was it just like the privilege of going to school there?
Yeah, no, so you were on salary when you're in the developmental program, and you work out that, you work that deal out with your company.
Your handler, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's really just you. You handle everything. They don't like it.
So on top of that, you have to be your own agent as well.
Yeah, you do. You do have to be your own agent. They don't like it when you get an agent, so.
Yeah, they don't want you to. They don't want you to smarten up too fast.
So. No, those developmental contracts are not friendly. They are not very friendly to the talent. And you know, before there was really wasn't any other companies to compete with, so they really kind of had you by the balls.
Yeah.
Unless you came in with a big name and you could kind of throw your weight around, they kind of took advantage of you. But it's one of those things where it's like, do you want it or don't you?
Yeah.
You kind of put
no,
up
yeah,
with
yeah,
it.
And it makes sense. So you were at the WWE training camp for how long altogether?
I bet. So I was there just under 5 years. So I've been trained. I've been wrestling for six, if you count my time with OVW, till when I left the WWE. But with the WWE, I was there almost 5 years.
Okay. And so at that point in time, wasn't your stage name like Dorian something?
Yeah. So they had me actually performing under my real name for quite some time, Dan Matha.
Right.
And then I joined a group called the Outliers. It was me, another wrestler named Riddick Moss, and Robert Strauss was our manager. And when they put me into that group, they decided, for whatever reason, they wanted to actually give me a wrestling name. So I came up with the name Dorian Mack. I sent them a list of names, actually. I had a list of names. Dorian was one of them. They liked Dorian, so then I came up with the last name, Mack. And so that's what we rolled with. So, yeah, I've been performing under the name Dorian Mack.
Right. And you've actually, I mean, you've been some of your matches had been televised at that point in time, right?
Yeah. So I had, I never was on TV. Some of my stuff did get on TV. I was pretty strictly developmental. Now, I had some really awesome experiences. They liked taking me on the international trips where we would, you know, whether we went to Saudi Arabia, Dubai, China, India. They would take me, and I would help run the tryouts with them. And I would take the guys through all these, you know, the roles and really the very basic fundamental stuff. And I would kind of help scout, analyze who were people that were going to help the company. They would bring me along with those. And they were awesome experiences. One of the cool things I got to do was when I was in Saudi Arabia at the Greatest Royal Rumble was I got to actually be in the Greatest Royal Rumble, and that was a super cool experience. 77,000 people. King Abdullah Stadium outside, super sick, like the 100-yard ramp, and it was just a very awesome experience. Got to spend 14 days in Saudi Arabia as well, which was unique because I got to be on the ground and actually like talk to people in Saudi Arabia, which was interesting because we have, as Americans, we have our, you know, our perception of other countries in the world that a lot of times are kind of skewed or manipulated.
Right. Just like they do of us. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah, very much so. And so it was cool to be on the ground, you know, and to talk to people and travel the world. And you kind of just realize that people are all the same for the most part. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. We all kind of have the same wants and needs and desires. So that was an awesome experience. But I got some TV time there in that particular incident.
So now let's fast forward a little bit. Before we go into this first break, I want to set the stage. So you're basically experiencing a level of success that you wanted. Life is going great. Yep. You leave the WWE, right?
I did leave the WWE, but I didn't leave the WWE until after my car accident.
Okay. So, great. So now the car accident comes into the discussion. This is where we're talking about muscle saves lives. So where were you going that day? Were you just leaving training? Where were you going?
I was actually on my way to pick up end tables for my apartment at the time I was just getting ready to start my podcast, The Drop. So I was looking for some cool end tables to kind of accentuate the studio. I actually found a really nice set on Letgo, I think it was, or Facebook Marketplace, one of the two. Mm-hmm. Reached out to this lady. She was about 30 minutes away from my house in Florida. So I drove out there, saw them, picked them up, and then on the way home, that's when the accident occurred.
Right. And now, so for the fans that are listening to this, you used to not wear seatbelts, right?
Yeah. My mom would always yell at me. People would yell at me. I wasn't a big seatbelt guy.
Okay. So you're driving, and what happens?
So I'm driving. So I'm heading back to Orlando. This is a rural area in Florida that I'm in. Never been here before. Sorrento, Florida. I'm driving down. It's about 7 p.m. and I'm driving down this long rural road. And there's not any side streets. There's kind of fields everywhere. And I'm approaching this intersection. And as I'm approaching an intersection, like any intersection, I'm starting to slow down, preparing to stop. I get a little bit closer. I don't see a street light. Get a little bit closer. I don't see a stop sign. And then I start thinking to myself, well, that's weird. I don't see a street light or a stop sign. But in Florida, they have these intersections where they only have stop signs for one direction, which are always make me feel kind of leery. I always feel like those are super dangerous. But I was just like, oh, that's what this must be. And so I'm like, that's weird. No stop sign. But I let off the brake and I continue through the intersection. The next thing I remember, I'm waking up on the concrete and I see there's three people hovering over me. There's like mangled cars in the distance and ambulances rolling up and there's people everywhere. And
so that way, if ambulances are rolling up, you are out for a while, that means.
Yeah. Yeah. However long, I mean, whatever the respond time it takes for EMTs to show up to a spot is what it was the time that it took me to kind of start realizing or waking up from whatever I was knocked out.
Okay, so the EMT show up. What happens next? Do you try to stand up? Do you?
Yeah. So I actually tried. So when I first came to and saw the people standing over me, I'm just like, what? I was just, you know, I was just driving and now I'm on the concrete. Like, what is happening? And this is all very, like, this memory is super blurry to me. So I'm, like, getting up, and I get up, and the lady in the
middle. Wait. I got to emphasize something. You get up.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm like, getting up, and the lady in the middle, I don't know, she told me she was something to do in the medical field, because I can't remember specifically what she said her job was. She told me her name. Told me her job title, which was something as a nurse. And then as I got up, she kind of like grabbed me around like my head and neck, almost in a supportive way, but like looked me like she was like laser beaming me in the
Yeah,
eye.
She wants to see your pupils move. Yeah.
And she was pleading with me like, you were just in like a severe car accident and we need to keep you immobile until the ambulance gets here.
Right.
And when she said that, I, you know, me being, just being in athletics and in collision sports, I knew that she was right about that. Even though I had no idea what was going on, I knew that the something was wrong. So I was just like, okay. And I got back down. Then the next memory, now I don't remember anything from there till being on the stretcher and getting into the ambulance. And then that's when my memory came back to me. So I kind of had this little glimpse of the memory of like all the kind of chaos going on around me.
Right.
And next memory I have is getting put into the ambulance. And then that's where my memory comes back to me.
Yeah. You were in shock, obviously. And your body was trying to protect itself and it's going to shut down. So yeah. I want to take our first commercial break here. When we come back, I want to talk about you arriving at the hospital. Because we have a picture of the vehicle. So Dan corrected me. He's 6'7". How much do you weigh at this time, Dan, when the car accident?
285, 290.
And Dan is solid muscle. He doesn't carry – he's never really carried any fat. He's been thicker and more muscular. And there was a time where his neck looked like a small tree. But Dan is lean. So if he's 280 at this time, he's a super muscular 280-pound 6'7" superhuman who just got thrown through that windshield that you see right there. You can see the crumple of the car. The impact was intense. Dan's entire body ejected through that windshield, which means his head hit the windshield first and opened that windshield up so then his big shoulders could come through and then the rest of the other 280 pounds of him could launch through that windshield. So I'm betting when we come back, we're going to find out that the doctors are wondering, how is this guy not dead? And this is where we get into the topic at hand, that muscle does save lives, because I am going to propose that any lesser of a human being doesn't remember waking up, because he doesn't wake up. He just dies there. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio and Dan Matha. Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
There's no denying that a low-carb, low-sugar keto lifestyle has been shown to reverse chronic inflammation and normalize insulin sensitivity. But we all want a sweet snack from time to time. Well, no matter what you're looking for, you'll find it at Perfect Keto. Bars, cookies, exogenous ketones, keto-friendly performance enhancers, it's all in one place. I love their chocolate quad ketone salts that balance all four minerals. And try their keto bars for unique taste satisfaction, all the while knowing you're staying in your keto lifestyle lane. Go to perfectketo.com/superhuman to save 20% off your purchase today. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Unlock your potential with the best cognitive enhancement and anti-aging supplements on the market. PureNootropics.net goes the extra mile for the highest quality ingredients, third-party tested to make sure you only receive the best your money can buy. There's no better choice with their money-back guarantee and free shipping. Try their best-selling DHM. Dihydromyrcetin prevents hangovers and helps the liver detox after a night of drinking. Get your DHM and other nootropics and longevity supplements from PureNootropics.net. Net, the purest supplements around.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We are, I'm leaving this image up for a little while longer because I've been talking about how muscle saves lives for over a decade now. And originally it was about longevity and health, but it started to occur to me that I knew people who were in disastrous situations. I can tell a story about myself that clearly the only reason why we didn't suffer greater damage to our bodies is because muscle creates physical resilience. It allows you to be battered, thrown through a windshield. I mean, land on the pavement, thrown through a windshield head first, land on the pavement, stand up afterwards and have to be told, no, lay down, you're injured. It's like, no, I'm not injured, I'm standing up. No, lay down. And you're right. You know, she's like, you could have a vertebrae in your neck. You're up. You could actually cause yourself some paralysis that would linger for years and years. So it's the right thing to do and just get back down. But I can't tell people often enough that people used to make fun of me when I would say having more muscle on your carcass actually will protect you from being injured. But people like you show this. So now you roll into the hospital. You roll into the hospital. And by the way, we have a comment here, but whoever posted this, your security settings don't allow your Facebook username to come through. So if you wouldn't mind posting your name so we can give you credit and attribute this comment to you. This is an incredible story. My goodness, thanks for sharing. Yes, more people should understand the value of muscle today. So you roll into the hospital on a gurney. What happens?
Yeah, so I'm rolling in there. Now, in the process, so I'm 30 minutes away from Orlando Trauma. So I'm in this ambulance hauling ass on the way down to Orlando Trauma. And at this point, this is where I'm gathering as much information as I can, talking to the EMTs. Like, what happened? Where am I? Am I okay? They start telling me what they think is wrong. You know, you were in a car accident. You were injected through the front window. And when they said that, that was the first time that I realized what just took place.
Right.
When they said you were ejected through the front window. And I'm now strapped to a gurney. You know, my neck is collared down. My head is strapped down.
Right, across the forehead. Yeah, right.
So immediately when they said, you know, you were in a car accident, you were ejected, and we're worried that your neck is fractured. You have a broken neck. Immediately, I start moving all my extremities. Start moving my fingers. Start flexing every single muscle that I possibly can. Pecs, back, glutes, hamstrings. I'm just trying to get as deeply connected to all the muscles that I have to just make sure that they're all firing properly. They finally get me there. I get in there. There is a team. Like, it was like a scene from ER. There was like a team waiting for me. As soon as I get off, they start poking, prodding, asking 100 million questions, running as many tests as they possibly can. Finally, they get me to the CT scanner. We get into the CT scanner. They run a full-length scan of my spine, of my cranium, of my pelvis, and my left elbow, because my left elbow was pretty jacked up. And I get out, I get set into the ER, the ICU room, and I'm waiting there for about 30 minutes until the doctor gets the scans, reads them, and he comes back in and he goes, "Dude, I don't know who you are or where you're from, but there's nothing wrong with you."
I love it. It's like you must be from another planet, because you just went through a car windshield and landed on the pavement, and we could send you home now. Like, could you imagine? Like the astonishment on the doctor's face. He's used to somebody coming through in an accident like yours. Like, oh yeah, you're going to be paralyzed on the left side of your body for the rest of your life, and you're going to have to get a colostomy bag. And it's like,
yeah.
Dude, I don't know who you are or what you're made of. I love it. It's so friggin' great.
Well, the funny thing, so. Fast forward a little bit to when I ended up leaving. So I got in, the first time check I got when I was in the hospital, I heard it was 9 p.m. So the accident happened around 7-ish. I end up, first time check I get when I'm in the hospital is 9 p.m. I leave the next morning at 11:30 a.m. and I walked out of the hospital. I got up. I put my feet on the ground. I stood up. I had to go to the bathroom. I peed, and I had to pee to prove for whatever reason.
Yeah, because you're passing. Otherwise, you have to come back if it's backing up. It's dangerous, right?
So I peed, and then they were like, "You were good to go." They wanted to give me a wheelchair to roll out, but I was like, "I don't need it." And I walked out, and I left. But when I left, before I left, the nurse that was looking after me, she goes, I'll never forget this. She goes, "Darling, I've been on this floor for 16 months. Now, I've never had somebody come in here that hasn't had to have multiple surgeries or go ahead and die on me."
That's amazing.
And when she said that to me, that was like, it was all, the whole night was very emotional for me, because it was just like, I should be dead. Like, I should not have survived that. Like, that happens 1,000 times. That accident happens 1,000 times, 999 times I'm dead. Or worse, I'm paralyzed, right?
Right. Right.
Because, in my opinion, there's worse things than death, right? Someone like me, well, anybody, it's just, you know, you lose the ability to move, speak, you know, function as a normal human being. It just, there's worse things than death that could have happened. And 999 times, we're not sitting here talking anymore, Carl. But that one time, that's how it did. And I feel like, you know, we were talking about earlier about, you know, a higher power. We're talking about God, the universe, mystic forces, whatever. I felt like on that day, whoever that greater, the creator, it was just, he said, it's not your day.
I know that in order to resolve the feelings, like my son just went through a situation hiking in 97 degree temperature, and he suffered from heat stroke.
Okay.
And like they had to take him off the mountain. Like a ranger had to take him off the mountain. They were like, dude, man, you're going to die if you stay up here. And he wanted to keep going. And he cried the next day because all of a sudden you become overwhelmed. Like, wow, like that moment, I'm dead. I'm not here today thinking back about it. And there's something overwhelming about that. The recognition of your own mortality is a very, very intense observation to have retrospectively. And we need, and we want to feel like, well, something intervened, because clearly, like, I'm dead otherwise. But I'm going to say something, and I'm not challenging anybody's faith when I say this. But the only reason you lived is because Dan Matha has done something for decades that the average, normal, non-superhuman doesn't do. And that is, you have trained with extreme weight for decades. Yeah. And your body is resilient. Your body could go through a friggin' wall, and where it would smash everybody else's bones, you'd end up with surface scratches from the sheetrock. So while it's great to say there's a higher power at work here, it's also even better to realize that you had total control and input on your outcome. You did it. You saved your own life.
So without a doubt, you know, I felt like there was a higher power at work. But without a doubt, the training that I've done, the physical, you know, from the weight room, training my body since I was 12 years old, I've not missed one single day of training.
Wrestling too. Think about it. You get blindsided. Football. Yeah, football. How many times did you get blindsided in football where you just get banged? You didn't even see a guy coming.
I've been training my body in collision sports since I was 12 years old as well. So 15 years of football, 6 years of wrestling, my body has been completely conditioned to, and you know, and we have the data now that proves offensive linemen, defensive linemen, they're about a yard apart and they collide into each other. But those collisions on average are the equivalent of a 30 mile per hour car accident. Now you can have up to 50, 60, 70, 80 plays in a game where that happens, where you're having those mini car accidents, not including all the hours of practice when in wrestling, anytime you hit the ring, like a bump in the ring, that's what we call anytime you flat back onto the ring. That collision that goes through your body is equivalent to a car accident. I've been training my body
to be in car accidents.
You know, I've been training my body to be in this, you know, and then through context clues, I realized that when I went through the front window, because I have zero memory of the accident, zero. It was the last thing I remember is this is a weird intersection. The next thing I remember is waking up on the concrete, like, where am I? I have zero recollection of any of the accident. There was no like last second, oh shit, swerve, brake, nothing. Don't remember any of that. But what I put together through that from everything afterwards, because I have a gnarly gash on the back of my head. So I did have a concussion. I did have to get 5 staples and 12 stitches. And then I had road burn down the left side of my body.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I've healed at an incredible pace. Like the way I've been able to heal even from those injuries, it far surpasses what I even thought I was going to heal at. And I, you know, I've had some injuries that I've healed pretty quickly from. It's crazy how quick I recovered from those, which I contribute to taking care of my body since I was 12 years old, training, eating properly, hydrating appropriately as well. I attribute all of that to my ability to not be paralyzed, to not die, and then to have the ability from the little injuries that I did have to recover at a superhuman. You know, I felt like I embodied Wolverine and his like healing properties, you know what I mean? And I attribute all that to training. And then the context clues that I was getting to was when I went through the window, all those years of training, of being able to control my body, you know, my proprioception, I must have went through the window and turned to like roll, because you see my elbow was jammed and my shoulder was jammed afterwards. It hurt. So what happened was I went to brace myself like this, and just the force was obviously too, you know, 60 mile per hour car accident was just too much for my body. And then as I landed, my back hit, and then my head whiplashed off the ground.
So you when you were midair, instinctively your body went into the roll movement, because you knew, like, I've been here before. This is what you do when you're up in the air coming down.
Well, so to go back to the WWE, and part of the training that we do before we, you know, we go through a little, you know, warm up, and one of the first things we do every day we're in the ring is we roll. We do gymnastic rolls. We do somersaults. We do back rolls. We do one arm rolls, short rolls, long rolls, any type of body control where you're jumping, you're throwing your body through the air and then controlling it and landing, very gymnastic-esque. I've been doing that for 6 years. I've been doing thousands and thousands and thousands of reps. And they do that to train your body so that when, because sometimes, listen, we're working together for the most part in the WWE when you're, as a wrestler, you're working together. But shit happens. You got two big sweaty dudes. Sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you get put in a weird situation and you're falling in a very disadvantaged situation. So the ability to control your body as well is essential. So just instinctively, I knew without even thinking that I had to like roll to protect my body. And that's what I, you know, I think that was another proponent into me being landing as safely as possible.
Completely.
And that happened through training my body. You know, that's another aspect of training. That's one of the things that I tell young people, young athletes all the time. They worry about getting strong, explosive, building muscle. And those things are great, but none of those things mean a damn thing if you don't have the ability to control your body as well. You know, and so between my ability to control my body and then also over the years of just building, not just building, just lifting and building muscle, but building dense, functional, you know, like my skeletal system, my bone density is through the roof. The nutrition that I put in my body as well, like all of those things played a major, major factor to be able to literally walk away from something that would literally kill anybody else.
You know, Dan, before we go into the break, I want to tell people that you have a podcast now. We've kind of mentioned it, alluded to it a couple seconds ago. The podcast is called The Drop, and it's on YouTube. But very shortly, you're going to be starting a Patreon paid program where you actually will give people a challenge kind of thing to help them manifest the best possible physical, mental, spiritual aspects in their life, right?
Yeah, man. It actually kind of, so that program has a lot to do with just things that I've learned, but it started here on Superhuman Radio with the Mate the Motivations. That Mate the Motivation segment that we used to do every month back in the day, kind of, you know, I started doing little Mate the Motivations, you know, about 2-3 minutes worth on my Instagram once I kind of got back into social media, and they really, I didn't realize how impactful they were to people. I just kind of was doing it to just create some content that I was hoping was valuable. But one week, I didn't do them. I, you know, I had something and I just didn't do them. And I had like an outcry from a lot of the people that follow me.
Yeah, they look forward to it. They look forward to it.
So the Patreon is kind of built after the Mate the Motivation. It's a 30-day challenge that is going to help people build habits that are going to help change their emotional state and then hopefully, you know, whatever their goals are to achieve. And these are all things that I've either gotten from other world-class performers or that I've implemented myself. And I figured during these crazy times with the quarantine where people's habits and schedules have just been shredded to pieces, I just thought, what better time than now to be able to put something out that's going to help people? Because I personally have had to reorganize my schedule because obviously the accident and not working right now, but then also being in the quarantine like everybody else, like my routine has been kind of thrown in the air, and it's just like I had to recenter and regather myself. So these were some of the tools that I had used. So that's what I'm putting out there. And building the community, too, than just selling a program.
I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how you exited the WWE. If I was like a manager at the WWE, I would have been like, we can use this, right? We're going to roll him in to the ring. We're going to announce that he had a horrible car accident, went through the windshield, show the pictures, people gasping. And we roll you into the ring, like, so that you could say farewell. And then some wrestler, like, says, yeah, it's a good thing you're crippled now because I would have kicked your ass. And then you literally break the casts off and you step up and you jump in the ring and you bash him. Like, that's like, oh my God, the plot thickens. That would have been perfect. I can't believe they didn't use that. I can't believe it.
They should have had you. You should have been the booker, Carl. They should have had you writing the story.
I'm a Renaissance man. I have a lot of talents. I just got to focus them all. All right, look, we're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about Dan's exiting the WWE. And, of course, check out his podcast on YouTube, The Drop. And check him out on Patreon. And we'll be right back with more. Don't forget, we're going to be joined by Shannon Penna in just a couple minutes to talk about how to cook decadently tasty desserts and foods without them harming you. Stay tuned.
Planet Earth CBD offers a fast-acting transdermal patch that targets your aches and pains for the relief you need. Not only is the patch uniquely patented, but it is widely believed to provide larger quantities of available cannabinoids to the source of pain than other brands' subpar products. Effective for 24 to 48 hours, experience the benefits of Planet Earth's high-quality transdermal patch. Manufactured by Next Generation Technology in an FDA-registered facility, this pressure-sensitive adhesive delivers rich hemp extract directly through the skin. Be it a neck ache or a headache, you can count on CBD to take off the edge. Go to planetearthcbd.com today to learn more.
Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the healthier alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. Their sugar-free biltong is seasoned and then air-dried for up to 2 weeks, providing you with one of the most tender and flavorful meat snacks that you've ever had. They also use a fattier cut of beef, which adds to the tenderness and gives their biltong even better flavor. Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the perfect snack or travel companion for your busy life. Get a free bottle of Ranch-tastic seasoning with every order. Free shipping on orders of $99 or more. Get yours today at selectsavorysnacks.com/SHR.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full-out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take. And it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers. Over 11 million people in the U.S. have some form of retinal damage, also known as macular degeneration. This is expected to double to nearly 22 million by 2050. Artificial blue light, age, type 2 diabetes are all contributors. Doctors say there's no cure. Armed is changing that opinion. In one clinical trial, 93% of patients had arrested or improved their condition. 54% reported lessening of glare, reduced dryness, and improved clarity and comfort. And 0% felt worse during treatment and no side effects. Take control of your macular degeneration situation or keep it from ever occurring. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and get armed today.
Unlock your potential with the best cognitive enhancement and anti-aging supplements on the market. PureNootropics.net goes the extra mile for the highest quality ingredients, third-party tested to make sure you only receive the best your money can buy. There's no better choice with their money-back guarantee and free shipping. Try their best-selling DHM. Dihydromyrisatin prevents hangovers and helps the liver detox after a night of drinking. Get your DHM and other nootropics and longevity supplements from PureNootropics.net, the purest supplements around.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dan Matha, former WWE, former football player, former hard training individual, lifelong athlete who at 6'7 and 280 pounds was thrown through the windshield of his car and walked away unscathed, other than, you know, some stitches he needed on the back of his head. I mean, this is miraculous, and this is why muscle saves lives. It's not just about metabolics when it comes to muscle. It's about the kind of thing that protects you from being physically injured when disaster happens. And it's another worthy reason why people need to get into the gym. I've been saying muscle is metabolic currency. Get into the gym and make a deposit today. But it's more than just metabolic currency. It's the source. It's your life source. It really, really is. So, Dan, you ended up leaving the WWE after the car accident?
Yeah. So there was a little bit. So leading up to the car accident, I had, like I said, I'd been with the WWE for just about 5 years. And that last year I was with the WWE, I was frustrated with their lack of, I guess, lack of wanting to do anything with me, or at least showing initiative of wanting to do anything with me. And there had been some, some behind the scenes games that had been being played, and some people weren't being honest, or they were saying things that weren't true, however you want to look at that. And it was becoming frustrating. And like anything, especially something such as wrestling, it's not just a job. It's I'm losing, like, I'm damaging my body just every time I step in that ring. The ring itself is very destructive to the human body, let alone all of the physical contact that goes into that. So at a certain point, I just kind of was like, I'm not happy with where I'm at. I think based on my skill level and the performances that I've been putting on that I thought I should be in a different position than what I'm in. I had done any and everything that I possibly could to showcase that I was a team player, and then I wanted to, like, I wanted to help the company. I have an asset, I have an ability and a talent that is very unique to a lot of people on the planet. I don't know too many people that bring a skill set like me, and I would like to help the company, flourish. But I can't keep doing this to my body. No matter how much I love this, I can't. I just can't do it. It would be a poor business decision. It'd be a poor life decision, to be honest with you, because there's only so much damage a human body can take, even one such as mine. So I had, had been frustrated. So I had asked for my release in February, and then that car accident happened March 28th. And then a week after my car accident, they had given me my release They had given a bunch of people their release at that point in time. They laid off like 40% of the company's working force.
What are you looking forward to now? You've got this podcast. You've started. You're going to put all your heart and soul into that for now. Is that going to be it?
Yeah. Well, that's not it. So the podcast has always been been something in the back of my mind for quite some time. That's like a passion project of mine. That I'm going to put my heart and soul into that, but I've also, that's a slow grind in terms of monetization. So I got to be able to pay the bills. I had to find other ways to do that. I've been training people, either in person or virtually. I've been doing quite a bit of virtual training, Google Hangout, Zoom, things like that. I'm doing classes with people. I'm also writing up workout plans for people. I've also, like I said, the Patreon as well. I'm putting together this this community. Because one of the things that I kind of made me want to kind of move on from the WWE if things weren't going to progress the way I wanted to, so I felt like I've been being very selfish, where it's like everything's been me in my life, and deservingly, like rightfully so. The things that I had to achieve and wanted to achieve, you almost have to be selfish, right? But I felt like there was a sector of my life that was missing, and that was like giving back to people. And I feel like a lot of people have given to me over my lifetime, whether it was teachers, coaches, or just guys such as yourself, where the universe just puts people into my life and they just drop little knowledge or acts of service that really kind of propelled me forward.
Or VIP passes to the Arnold.
Yes, yeah. Dude, I had a blast. That was the first time I ever went to the Arnold.
Yeah. Dan, I believe in you, and I've believed in you for a long time. And like I said to you earlier, it doesn't. You may not have the target where in your eye yet, but you're destined for greatness. There's no doubt in my mind. There was never any doubt in my mind about it, really. And so
I appreciate that.
I hope people go and check out your podcast on YouTube. It's called The Drop, and then also look for him on Patreon, where he'll have some special aspects of what he does and how he wants to teach people available to paying patrons there. And I'm sure we'll have him back on the show again. I'm glad you're healthy. I'm glad you flew through that window like a Superman and lived to tell the story. Really, really. Very, very happy for you. All right, Dan, we'll talk soon, okay, brother?
Thanks, my man.
Okay. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to do some cooking lessons. Yes, because we all want to eat things that taste good, but quite often the things that taste good aren't good for us. Well, here's a gal who really is an artist when it comes to this kind of stuff. And that's Shannon Yorton Penna. And I believe we're going to be joined by her husband, too, Ron Penna, a guy who is actually a mentor to me. Can you imagine? I'm 62 years old, and he's my mentor. And it's true. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get two free 10-ounce New York strips when you purchase $50 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to PIEDMONTESE.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon 1 banner ad today.
Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibrations use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest, so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman. Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it, you'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off. If there is one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powering over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, and even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a new magnesium product I've been taking now called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the ultimate magnesium supplement, easily the best I've ever seen or experienced. With all 7 forms of magnesium, I was able to arrange an amazing deal for my audience, and I guarantee it's the best deal available on this product. Seriously, with volume discounts combined with our custom 10% coupon code SHR10, you can save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. And I promise that this deal is only available on this specific website, magbreakthrough.com/SHR. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even on the company's own website. Go to magbreakthrough.com/SHR and use code SHR10 to save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carbs, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. This is so cool. So I'm being joined by Shannon and Ron Penna. How you guys doing? Let me get your audio set up. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Perfect. Perfect. There we go. Hi, Ron. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Good. And who do we have there? Is that Fiji?
That's Maui.
Maui. Okay. Okay. I can't see her. Oh, no. Now I see her head. She just picked, when you said Maui, she picked up her head.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to thank you for joining today. I wanted to do this for a long time. In fact, I think, you know, one time I texted you a year or two ago and said, why aren't you on the cooking channel? Because we need people who have your skills on the cooking channel, because all they show on there are the foods that lead to chronic disease. But more importantly, it's not just that you are so skilled in the kitchen, but I don't think I'm lying when I say that your protein bar led to what would become a billion-dollar company, and that's Quest Nutrition. I mean, you were for people who missed that first interview, you were making the Quest bar and selling them to your personal training clients. And Ron, you were like, this bar is just too good to keep to ourselves. We need to do something with it. Is that the Reader's Digest version of what happened?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, okay. So, it's nice to learn. You know, I'm a big proponent. I always say, if I want to learn to play the piano, I want to learn from a concert pianist, not from somebody who's just moderately better than me. And so if we really want to learn how to cook and bake and make things that really aren't innately good for us because of all the sugar and the garbage in them, but then have been modified to be healthy, you really are the best at that, in my humble opinion. I'm saying that. I'm not asking you that
Thank
question.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I've watched you. Oh, yeah. And I remember one day I was fortunate enough to train with Ron one morning. And after that, we walked into the kitchen and you made us this dish with eggs and tortilla chips. And And it was amazing. And you did it like this. And the next thing I know, you're cleaning up the pan. And I'm like, this looks like I just got served at a restaurant. I mean, she makes it look effortless, right, Ron?
She does.
Okay.
For sure.
So we're going to start to share your recipes with the audience. And in fact, this entire recipe will be both available on the Superhuman Radio website in today's show, as well as a link out to Shannon's Instagram page where you can learn even more recipes that she makes. And this particular recipe is for a cinnamon bun or cinnamon roll, whatever you want to call it, that really does taste so much like the really bad ones for you that you get at the mall, but it's really good for you. So just kind of real quickly go through the recipe, the ingredients in it first, because I think there's a shocking ingredient in here that people will not see coming.
Okay, we'll start with that. The shocking ingredient is mozzarella cheese. Most people wouldn't think putting mozzarella cheese or cheese of any kind into a dessert, but I'm not the one who came up with this. This isn't, you know, my idea. It's my morph on a recipe, but there's something out there called fathead pizzas or fathead dough, and people make pizzas out of it. It came along in the whole low-carb keto recipe world, and I just kind of morphed it and used ingredients I want to use. So I tend to use mascarpone cheese a lot, ricotta cheese, in a lot of my recipes, not just this one. You can use cottage cheese if you want to bump up your protein. It's all kind of what you want to do. You just have to be willing to play. And me being someone who likes to play with food and ingredients, it's a fun thing to do and see what you come up with. So these cinnamon rolls are your basic cinnamon roll cream cheese type thing. I've done pecan version. I've done fruit versions with some berries and stuff inside. So it's almost more of like a, what we call like the strawberry cheesecake cinnamon roll. So you can play with it and make it what you want. But the basic dough recipe is almond flour, mozzarella cheese, and cream cheese. That's your base. That's really all that's there. The mozzarella cheese, when you melt it down, allows for that elasticity. It gives you more of a dough-like consistency. So when you bake it, you know, it firms up, but it gives you that stretch.
So the recipe is on the website. So we're not going to focus on the recipe right now. We're going to focus on some aspects of it. But so have you always loved cooking, or did that evolve when you were competing? Because you were a very effective competitor at one point in time as well.
Thank you. No, I used to bake with my mom when I was a kid. So my mom used to, you know, cook and do things like that. So I learned some of my little skills from her. But we you know, when we baked, we made real banana bread, real chocolate chip cookies and things like that. Obviously, as I got older and into training, which, you know, I started weight training around 16. So by the time I was in my early 20s, I was always looking for low-carb options. And I've always baked and played and cooked very, we'll call it cleanly or low-carb. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, you know, when I started competing, that's what morphed me into finding sweet treats that I could eat that didn't have the carbs or that would, you know, sort of fit my, I don't want to say fit my macros so much, but just fit my lifestyle. And that's what led me into making protein bar. I used to love the idea of protein bar, food on the go, quick, easy. When I was a personal trainer, I used to eat protein bars in between clients because it was just easy. It was hard to get a whole meal. And protein bars were just so full of carbs and sugar and things like that. So, and sugar, alcohols, all the stuff like you tend to not either want to eat or they upset you or whatever it is. So that's what took me into that, making Quest bars.
So, the Quest story is a very interesting story. Because, like I said earlier, you were making these bars for your clients. Ron, when you were eating these Quest bars, did you think to yourself, you know, people would love these. We need to do something on a bigger scale. Or was it just like, did it just kind of organically get bigger and bigger?
No, well, I mean, one of the things we always have to be careful of is we've been eating low carb so long, we've learned not to totally trust our taste buds. So I had a software company at the time, and I was taking her bars in to guys that were, you know, they were eating Doritos, they were drinking, you know, regular Mountain Dew and Snickers bars. And the next day I went back, and they were like, can we get some more of those? And I remember the guy saying to them, thinking, that's a disconnect here. These guys, and I'm looking around at just tons of, you know, junk food wrappers.
Yeah.
And I brought more in, and they ate them all. And that's when it really said, you know what, this actually may go beyond just the weird freaks that eat, you know, really clean diets. And that was really the genesis of it. And I always wanted to be in the nutrition business, but I always tended to think about the supplements. But food really is, if you want to change somebody so that their mother can't even recognize it, you're going to do that through food, and supplements will be a supplement to that. So that was really the genesis of the idea. When I realized regular people wanted to eat it, I knew there was a pretty big market.
Yeah, no, and actually, I had a Quest bar right before the show, and they're amazing. They still are to this day a delicious bar, and you don't feel bad eating them. And that's the key. It's the guilt. I often wonder, like, when you eat something and you feel guilty while you're eating it, if it actually changes the way you metabolize it. So I'm sure somebody will find out that that's true. So. Getting back to the cinnamon bun, you make these pretty effortlessly and quickly now, right? How long is the prep time? How long does it take to make them?
I mean, I would say honestly, prep time for me is probably 15 minutes now. It's a pretty easy, quick. It takes a little hand work. I mean, so one of the things to this recipe is you can't use a mixer, a stand mixer. I tried. It doesn't work.
Mm.
It tears apart the dough, and it's almost like it mixes it too well. It won't work. So you have to do it by hand. So you have to get a little dirty in there, but it gets pretty quick. I mean, you grab your few ingredients, you mix and go, and you lay it out on your, you know, parchment paper or whatever, roll it out, fill your filling, roll it on up, cut it, bake it. It's not that hard once you get it down. So,
Ron, is this one of your favorites that she makes?
Yes. Yeah, I've been eating it for probably 4 years maybe. And I remember in the early days, it was really an almond meal type product. And now it's morphed to this mozzarella cheese. And what's weird is the mozzarella basically is a replacement for gluten, because gluten is a protein, but it gives it that stretchiness. And what's great about these is the crust is crispy. So like if you get one on your plate, it looks, smells, you know, like a cinnamon roll. And when you cut into it, you'll get that crack on the outside, but then the center stays gooey and it's got that kind of pull. Which is really strange to me, even as I'm eating it, I'm thinking about mozzarella. It's like it doesn't really compute, but it's so strange that mozzarella would be a really good analog for gluten. They look totally different, but that really is the trick to making this. Like, you know, you can feed it to your guests, and if you don't say anything, that's really the best test. And kids are the best. They're almost impossible to fool. Kids know right away.
Yeah.
If you were to put side by side, would a kid pick the real cinnamon roll, the carb filled one? I'm almost certain.
Probably, yeah.
But we've given it to other people, and the common quote is, why would I eat the real thing? Because when you look at the macros, I mean, we both keep our carbs really low year round, and it does feel like cheating. So the guilt factor that you were talking about, hopefully it won't metabolize.
into poisons in my body. Well, you know, and more evidence has come out that the low carb lifestyle can actually reverse the aging of the brain. I mean, there's so many benefits to going low carb. And like just recently, I started working with a guy who does diets for IFBB pros. And he's got me eating a little bit more carbs than I used to, but no more than 125 grams a day. I have been doing low carb for so long that I don't like a lot of carbs. My stomach feels wonky. I just don't feel good. I feel sluggish. And so people who are going to look at this recipe that are used to eating, you know, just regular food, it may say, well, that's a lot of fat. Well, it is, and it'll increase satiety. You won't feel hungry again. But the reality is carbs are the demon. It's not sugar. Sugar is the demon, and it's not addictive. That's not true. But sugar is the demon. It's not fat. Would you agree with that, Shannon?
I do. You know, everyone's got their talking about nutrition is a, like religion.
Like religion,
it's,
I know.
It's that dangerous, slippery slope. But for me personally, yeah. I mean, and I was not someone who ever grew up with a lot of carbs. My father was a bodybuilder, and you know, I think we had the occasional baked potato and maybe some wheat bread in the house. But like, we didn't eat that regularly. We ate a protein and a vegetable. And that was it. So I grew up that way. So it was a much simpler, I guess, lifestyle for me to live with or adapt to.
And it's interesting because in the 60s, the so-called golden age of bodybuilding, all those guys really went low carb pre-show. There wasn't a lot to read about nutrition. There weren't that many crazy ideas floating around. And, you know, there's nobody that was taking their carbs up back then. They were all taking them down. And pretty much you had a lot of people like your dad who were protein fat people. A lot of protein.
Right.
Yeah, my dad just dropped overall calories, but you know, he always ate a ton of protein, a pretty good amount of fat. He did a very little amount of carbs, you know, in terms of maybe a little bit of fruit or, like I said, a little bit of wheat bread. And then he would just overall cut calories. That was more of his game. So that, you know, that's the 60s and whatnot. But yeah, I think, you know, low carb is for me, it's a longevity game more.
Yes.
I mean, obviously I care how I look, you know, aesthetically and stuff, but it is very much, an internal thing. You know, what does my blood work say and how am I feeling? And, it's the longevity game for me.
How many people have contacted you, Shannon, and said, I found your Instagram page. I started making your recipes, and everybody in my household is healthier today.
Actually, you know, surprisingly, quite a few.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised about that because I never even wanted to do an Instagram. It was all kind of because of Quest and things like that. And so I figured eventually, other than posting pictures of my dogs, I might as well post some of the things I make. And I got a lot of comments about that. Not just like how to make it, but either it was simple to make or wow, they couldn't believe how great it tasted. And I've had several people write me that, like you said, their family started eating better and their husband is now off his, you know, medications.
Let me take this one because she shared one with me probably a year and a half ago about a lady who said, oh, my husband's not really taking it seriously. He's got diabetic complications. We're talking about amputation. He was pretty far down the spectrum. And I remember thinking, Shannon, why are you wasting your time with this?
He always says that to me. Why do you waste your time with these people? Because I think there's simple ways to do things. People are always looking like, oh, it's so hard. And so this, I'm also a tough love kind of person. So I'm not like, oh, baby steps.
It's, yeah,
that's
right.
Not
and then about 6 months later, she said, oh yeah, the lady wrote back, it worked for her husband. I said, let me see a picture. And she had provided
night and
a
day.
Picture. And the guy went from looking ill to almost lean. And I remember thinking,
he
for
lost
some reason, some people
body.
Just, and basically they were living on cinnamon rolls or pizza rolls and I was thinking, wow. And you did that other lady who you sat down with that one time.
One of the things I always tell people is find healthier snacks that you like that your family will like. So whether that's the Quest chips and Quest cookies and legendary foods, you know, tasty pastries, whatever it is that works for you, get rid of all the other stuff in your house and only have that. Then they don't have options.
Right.
They only have the clean options.
Yeah. If it's not, you know, in the house, you won't eat it.
Just,
yeah.
Right. So you leave that stuff around. Eventually, they'll go ahead and eat. Because if you leave the options, are you going to pick the Quest chips or over the Doritos? Probably not. So don't have those in the house. And so that's one of the things I said with her is get rid of everything else.
Right.
Only have the clean options. Oh, but he won't eat it. He won't eat it. He will when he's hungry enough. And sure enough, he adapted. And that was all that was there for him. You know, and I told her, keep things around. Cheese sticks and nuts and just the real simple, easy, low-carb stuff. And sure enough, you know, it took about 6 months, but he's off all his medications, no longer diabetic, lost all the weight, a bunch of things. I mean, it does work. So, you know, you stick with
it.
Some people can use the manipulation approach. I wouldn't think it would work, but yeah, they just start tricking everybody and then they're eating all this stuff all the time and it changes.
I mean, it's nice if people are agreeable to it, but some people are absolutely, you know, they're like, no, I'm not.
I had a guy contact me through the show about 4 years ago through a friend's wife, and he's a very powerful attorney, and he had several segments of his intestines removed because he had rheumatoid arthritis, but he also had like IBS and these other things going on. And I said, you know, I'll talk to him. So I talked to the guy the very first conversation. So I'm asking, what do you eat every day? And like he listed things, and it's all bread. It's like I eat a sandwich, I eat toast, you know, I eat a Big Hero, and so I said, well, you know, you have a autoimmune disorder, and a lot of times grains, you know, trigger those things. Can you give up the bread? Not forever, but just like for a couple months to see if your condition gets better. He said, absolutely not. I asked why? He says, because I'm retired now. But I have a client that is a Panera Bread, and I do work for them, and they pay me in bread.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so can't you just give up the Panera Bread for like 6 weeks? Just give it a try? Absolutely not. I says, it's just going to get worse. They're going to just keep removing parts of your intestines and your – oh, he had MS. That's what it was. He had MS. I said, your MS is going to get worse. You're not going to be able to walk anymore. And he didn't care. And – you know, after a near-death experience of my own when I was 39 years old and realizing like how desperate I wanted to be healthy and how militant I became about what I needed to do to save my own life. And then that guy, I don't get it. I'm like, well, don't you want to be healthy and live longer? I guess not. Not everybody.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody. Some people just feel it's too hard, or they tried before and they failed and they just know they can't do it, so they've just given up. You know, and it definitely is a mindset thing. You know, there's another girl I kind of worked with, and I say that casually, meaning like I don't do stuff like that for pay. But she needed help. She'd been on every diet and used every different coach and everything, and nothing was working for her. And I said, why don't you just try keto, because it helps you stay fuller. You don't have to get into ketosis. That wasn't the goal for her. It was just to lose some weight. But for her, if she could have the protein and the fat fill up, not eat so much, not even want to snack, that would really help her. So I said, give it a shot. She's like, I don't know. You sure? What about all that fat? You know, so we talked it out. She gave it a shot. And in 4 months, she lost 50 pounds and felt so much better, felt strong, was surprised that the keto diet allowed her to still feel strong during her workouts. And, you know, she's on this journey still.
And she had two or three diet coaches that did the traditional higher carb, low fat approach. And when Shannon started working with her, she said, wait a minute, all the things I'm not supposed to eat,
right,
like, you know, ground beef and sour cream and all the fatty stuff that she loves. She, you know, I think she was Mexican.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, wow, this is such a weird thing. But for her, it was one of those people that it was just effortless. You know, you hear about these stories, and my mom was like, effortless, you know, fat loss.
Well, it got her off candy and stuff. That was her big thing. She also realized by not being hungry how much she used to snack. Because she always said to me, oh, no, I don't snack. And I said, trust me, you do. You know, people just don't realize what they do. She works from home also. So she'll go to the fridge, grab something, and not consider that a meal.
Yeah.
That's the thing. People count their meals, but they don't count all the things.
The grazing.
The snack, the coffee.
The grazing.
What did you say?
The grazing.
Yeah, the grazing all kind of through the day. They think, oh, no, I ate breakfast, I ate lunch, I ate dinner. And it's like, okay, but what happened in between? Not much. They sort of forget those little things. And so when she realized, oh, my God, I'm not going to the refrigerator all this time, or all those snacks I used to eat are still there, she realized, wow, I eat a lot more than I thought I did.
And the weird thing is her husband and her son, too.
They all lost, her husband lost 35 pounds, her son lost 25 pounds, because she started cooking a certain way, and they loved the food, because she could make, in a sense, all her Mexican dishes. I just told her to get the low-carb tortillas if you're going to use a tortilla. There's the shirataki rice, you know, things that when you do enough, like, fun cream sauce and meat, you don't notice that the rice isn't the real rice.
Yeah.
It works when you get used to it. When you're someone who eats rice regularly and then tries to switch over, you kind of go, that tastes different.
Yeah.
But once you do it regularly, it becomes very much a staple, and it's normal, and it tastes very good to you. So it's also all what you get used to.
Elisa put a comment up because she was listening to when we were talking about how, why wouldn't someone want to save their own life and heal themselves? She said, life is not for everybody, as I say. I told you that story when we were at the Bulletproof Coffee one morning when my son Chase was very young and he threatened to kill himself. And I looked at him. I said, well, I guess life isn't for everybody.
That's right.
And he was shocked. Yeah. He thought I was going to go, no. I was like, well,
right.
And he never said that. He never threatened to kill himself again. He said to me, I guess if I threaten to kill myself, I have to follow through with it with this guy. And
right.
It's funny.
Well, it works because he's such a cool guy.
Yeah, I know. He's a great kid. So he's got his head on. He's so much further along at his age than I was at that age. So the other thing I want to talk about is the fact that you continue to influence. So the nut butters at Legendary Foods, which I use as desserts, like at the end of a meal, I feel like I want something sweet. That's just my way. And I'll take, you know, a couple tablespoons of the apple pie nut butter or the banana chocolate nut butter, and they taste so decadent. They taste like they're loaded with sugar, but they're not. And they taste so good. Those all began in your kitchen also, right, Shannon?
Yeah. Yeah, so I've always been a big nut butter, specifically peanut butter person, but, you know, I don't discriminate. I like all the nut butters. So, you know, there was a big, boom of protein nut butters.
Yes.
And I tried every single one of them, and I either didn't like the taste or I couldn't stand the texture. They were gummy. They were grainy. They were strange. And at the end of the day, a lot of the ones that might taste good have real chocolate chips in it with sugar, or real toffee bits with sugar, you know. So you think it's healthy, it's really not. I got so discouraged with it, I started making my own at home, and it kind of grew from there. I had, you know, at one point hoped to make it a product, and but never really thought much about it, and then we did Legendary Foods, and so there it went. But it was a fun thing to play with, you know, to make different nut butters and make different fun flavors, like I used to do with the bars.
Do you do the seasoned nuts also? Do you create the seasoning for the seasoned almonds?
I helped work on that with R&D team. That wasn't my project alone. But yeah, I had a little bit of hands in that one.
So you know what I noticed the most about the seasoned almonds? The almonds taste so fresh. Like, I'm a big stickler for fresh nuts. I don't like roasted. And, you know, when nuts start to go bad, they literally smell like latex paint, especially like walnuts.
Right.
Like, they smell like latex paint.
Right, right.
And when I bite into some of those seasoned almonds, what I taste the most is the freshness of the almonds. It's impressive.
That's definitely a big thing we've been very conscious of is the freshness, that the nuts don't, you know, kind of go rancid or spoil or... I don't know.
We also test them for lipid peroxidation. So, you know, we're just into that stuff just from a nutrition standpoint. It's kind of fun.
Because you know how bad that stuff is, right, Ron? I mean, you were the one who told me, like, wow, we tested nuts one time, and, like, you can't believe how rancid most nuts are.
Yeah, it's because most of the people that are doing it, they're just focused on taste, taste, taste. So they want to make sure that they get them nice and crispy, and that's really what they're focused on. But in the early days, before we even launched, we looked at truly raw, pasteurized, all that to really determine what that level was. And it's just a matter of caring about that. Most people don't really realize that, you know, those fats, a lot of them get damaged pretty easily. So you got to really control that. And of course, if you do that, a lot of people will roast it for the year. And then they're just working up a stockpile.
Sitting there for a whole year, having already been roasted. And the same thing with nut butters. I mean, oftentimes I buy nut butters, especially if you buy them, I don't know, online somewhere. You open it up and you can just smell it. Don't even taste it. Smell it. You can smell the staleness of a lot of nuts or nut butters. And so that was a big thing for us, you know, to focus on.
So when I asked Shannon to do this show, I immediately attributed the Tasty Pastry to her. I'm like, oh, I'm sure that the Tasty Pastry evolved from something you were working on. And she says, no, that was completely Ron. In fact, I didn't think adults would even want to eat a Pop-Tart.
I didn't grow up with Pop-Tart. I wasn't really allowed junk food when I was a kid. I got, on Friday nights, I got like my root beer or regular Dr. Pepper and peanut butter cups. That was the only treat I was allowed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have sugared cereal. My dad thought all that stuff was junk.
He was right.
So I didn't grow up with those things.
Right.
And I had a Pop-Tart like when I was a kid at a friend's house. And I just thought, why eat this? Like, that is not my kind of dessert. I'm a cheesecake girl. I'm an ice cream girl. That's
not
my
rich.
Thing.
Yeah, rich, so, rich.
So Pop-Tarts to me were just not of any interest. So when Ron first brought it up to me and was saying, like, I want you to start working on this, I thought, why? Why would I don't even like them. How can I make something I don't even like? That's a hard one for me. So it was a hard thing. We have other people in the R&D team, so he got another guy on the project and he started working on that. But yeah, I mean, I like them now because I actually think our dough, to me, tastes better than a real Pop-Tart.
Yes,
dough.
It does.
I don't like a real Pop-Tart dough. I find it like, it's like, I don't even know what it's like.
It's
white
bland.
Flour.
Yes, it's bland. It's bland. In fact, it's obviously when you eat them raw, you can tell the difference. So
right.
A real Pop-Tart tastes like raw dough that just doesn't have a lot of moisture in it, and it breaks up.
I just don't like it. Yeah, it's
chalky.
Like it's like a dry cracker bread cookie. I don't know. So I'm not in. It's not my thing. But anyway, I obviously helped with the taste testing and stuff like that, and I was really, really pleasantly surprised. You know, I was pretty surprised.
When will
sure.
we see?
And so yeah, I eat them on a regular basis now.
When will we see a new flavor in the Tasty Pastry?
That's all him.
Well, probably by October.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got three new ones coming out. Mm. We've worked on 8 or 9 of them, but there's 3 winners that are really going to come out, and some other changes that'll be. That I think will excite people too.
Excellent, excellent. Looking forward to it. So they're selling so hot, selling so fast that for a while there you couldn't even keep them in inventory. I'm sure the inventory problem is not an issue any longer.
No, we've really worked hard on making sure. Now they're also available at Vitamin Shoppe, and they're starting to go into retailers, so you know, you can't really make a misstep there. So we have much more capacity now. And it was, you know, we were expecting big things, but it did take us a little by surprise. And it's amazing how, you know, when people find something they like, the whole word of mouth thing, it really explodes. Social media probably had some fire to that, but there's a lot of behind the scenes talking that really launches these things.
Yeah. No, they're so good. I love them so much. And I'm very cautious, you know, to try to get any sometimes because I know that they run out really fast. I'm anxious to hear about the new flavors. When will you start to let us know what the new flavors will be?
Well, as soon as it's really locked and the nutritionals are in there, it's one of those things. You know, we're an R&D focused company. We're always tweaking. Even when something's launched, whatever you're eating, it's three versions behind the reality of what we're doing in the R&D kitchen. So it's just a matter of making that right base where it cracks a certain level. And you never know how that insight's going to happen. It could be a breakthrough today. It might have already happened this morning, or still might take a few more weeks. That's why I say October. 60 days prior to us launching it, though, we'll kind of know.
Okay. Shannon, why do we not see pistachio-based nut butters?
You know, it's funny. There have been some basic ones out there where they've done like pistachio and vanilla, or maybe they've done one more for cooking. Like they do nut butters for cooking with like a Thai chili or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pistachio is a really strong flavor and you can't overcome it. So you either have to blend and work with it or overcome it. So part of it is with peanut butter. That's why you see peanut butter with chocolate chips, peanut butter with toffee. It's more additions. You can't, you know, overtake that peanut butter taste. Almond butter is one of those that you can kind of throw a bunch of flavorings
right.
and things into it and kind of cover it. So it's just a really strong, strong flavor. I would love to, in the future, you know, do macadamia butter. I had some hopes for macadamia pecan, definitely in the keto world there.
Mm-hmm.
Some other fun flavors. So we'll see what comes down that. I know we're very focused on tasty pastries and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, pistachio is just a tough one.
I want to try. I love pistachios. You know, being Italian, Spumoni ice cream, the green ice cream
great.
With pistachio, and I love pistachios. I make pistachio cannolis around Christmas
time. Oh, that's delicious. I know.
Yeah, I love
that.
Them. And I use Dumonte. Dumonte is a pistachio liqueur from Italy. And I mix that in with the ricotta cheese, so it has that liqueur flavor in it, too. It's really,
right,
really
right.
good.
There you go.
For those of you who don't know this, and how you would not know this, I don't know. Legendary Foods is the title sponsor. They make this show possible. Without Legendary Foods, this show would come to a halt, even with the other sponsors. And that's why at the beginning of every show, I say, go to eatlegendary.com, use code SHR10, and get 10% off. SHR, get 10% off your entire order. The nut butters are unbelievable. They go so fast in my house. In fact, the other night, Elisa and I, we watch 1 hour of TV at night, and it's usually something we recorded that we're interested in. We like to watch historic stuff. We're watching George Washington right now. And I remember Lisa said to me, if your tongue was longer, you could just stick it in there. I was working that, trying to get, you know, up underneath the rim and trying to get the last.
Every little bit.
Yeah. It's just that those nut butters are unbelievable. I love them so much. And they satisfy my sweet tooth, and I don't feel bad about eating them. So they're fantastic.
Awesome.
People should check them out.
I'm glad.
So we're going to have you back on periodically to introduce new recipes to the audience. The audience can go to your Instagram page. Everything is on the Supium Radio website for today's show. You'll find the recipe. You'll find the link to Shannon's Instagram page where you can explore other recipes and follow her there as well. And then eventually we're going to get Ron on, because I want to talk nutrition with Ron, one of the most brilliant people when it comes to nutrition. I learned so many things from him that I say on this show, and I always try to attribute to you. And one of the things I always say on this show is, it's not what you add to your diet, it's what you remove. I learned that from you. And that is a very, that is a very, very powerful truth. The other thing that you once told me is, anything that works in nutrition has to hurt. In other words, you gotta really want it so bad, and you gotta say, no, I'm not having it, and that is when you're in the right place. And that fits nicely into something that I learned early on when I was 330 pounds. I learned to embrace hunger. when I felt hungry, I say to myself, ah, I'm where I belong. That's where I want to be. I want to feel hungry and I want to embrace it. Where most people go, I'm hungry, I want to eat. I would say, I'm hungry, I want this to last for a while. So I'm with you on that. It's got to hurt. If it's going to work, it's got to hurt.
It's an unfortunate truth, but yeah, it really is true. And it kind of goes hand in hand with the whole subtraction thing. People are always trying, every article you read about nutrition, I should say many of them, talk about how you can add this superfood or this weird berry or something. But mostly what works is subtractive. That's why fasting, which I'm really surprised fasting has caught on, because it is, as you say, it's kind of a psychological battle. But the stuff they can do, the animal models with fasting, it's incredible. So there is an element of discomfort. And there are some additive things, but subtraction really is
you just have to think about, like, every article that's out there, every news program that says, add this, you should eat this. If you really did every one of those things, you'd be eating mass amounts of food. And
day in and day out.
So it's like, then people start going, which one do I do? You know.
And it's totally unintuitive, but eating cinnamon rolls or tasty pastries, you know, basically what you're doing is you're removing carbohydrate and sugar, even though you're eating something. So even there, it's really subtractive where the magic is. It's not so much that there's something magical in the properties
of
that cinnamon
roll. Yeah, the replacement
factor. Yeah, it's that you're getting rid of something out of your diet.
Well, we're going to try to make the cinnamon rolls this week, Elisa and I. And we'll post them on Facebook and Instagram, and hopefully they'll come out. Do you know I don't think the macros were actually on the recipe.
I did not. You know, I'll send those to you so you guys can put those up.
Yeah. I want to add
that.
I want to add that. Just so people, because people want to know. They want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
I want to thank you so much for being here. I did see the little puppy. Where's the little puppy?
She is sleeping. She's down here. Let's wake her up. This is our new little one. This is Pepper.
Oh, how cute. And such great pictures on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah, she's our new little love. We rescued her, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Ron, thanks for being here, man.
Absolutely. No, it was a pleasure. Fun, as always.
Okay, and we'll do this again real soon, okay?
We will.
All right.
See you guys later.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, Carl.
Hi, that's it for today. We've got a great week ahead of us. Hopefully you'll be able to tune in for all the shows. If not, there's always the podcast. And, of course, these videos. Share them with your friends. They can watch them later. It doesn't have to be right now. And thank you for being here today. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Let me get my music rolled up here. And here we go. Bye.